Dr. Matt Williams has been in active ministry now for 45 years and working with young people mostly, but also involved in church ministry as an assistant pastor. And we're so glad that he is with us today. And so, Brother Matt, would you come please and share what the Lord has laid on your heart?
All right. Thank you, Pastor.
Yes, amen.
Well, what a joy to be here this morning. I mentioned in Sunday school, I've known this ministry for a number of years and has followed it, but it's a real joy for me to be here for the first time. And I'll go ahead and say what I said, but in Sunday school this morning, but I normally would have a coat and tie on Sunday morning, but that's coming this afternoon, Lord willing, in the Pensacola Airport on a flight that will be coming in from Chicago this afternoon. They had to reroute me yesterday, and they were just trying to get people places with the weather in the Midwest and weren't too worried about luggage. And so I thought, oh my, if I'd only known in the morning. I kind of have, these are my travel clothes. You know, they're comfortable. I left at 4:30 in the morning yesterday when it was 7 inches of snow outside and everything. And so I had my comfortable clothes. But I did wash them and dry them over at your guest house last night. So I'm at least clean, even though I'm not going to win the best dress contest here for us today. But so good to be with you here today. I'll say more about our ministry, Student Leadership Conference. I'm here today really because I'm here tomorrow. And I'll be in the school all day tomorrow and working with the students. We have what we call Student Leadership Conferences. What I'll actually be doing tomorrow is talking about becoming the leader that God has called us to be, which is basically how to have a biblical worldview and how to develop a ministry mindset. We're going to do some discussion groups with older students, as well as having chapels for the 6th through 12th grade, I believe. But look forward to that, and I'd appreciate your prayers tomorrow. But we're calling this Biblical Worldview Sunday, and many times we'll do this along in conjunction with the student leadership conferences that we do. And I do different messages, different places. But I thought this would be good today. I want you to turn to Romans chapter 12, if you would, in your Bible. Romans chapter 12, we're going to look at four characteristics of distinction. Let me give you a statement as you're turning there. Sometimes I even have it on the PowerPoint here. But this statement, I want you to think about this. Watchman Nee, who was a wonderful Christian missionary, said, "We have lived subnormally for so long that when we see someone living normal, he seems abnormal." Now, what does that mean to us? We've lived subnormal. Let's put it in the context of the Word of God with what God says. Am I living a life that really goes totally along with what God is telling us this is what you should be? That's what we're going to look at Romans 12. If not, then I'm really subnormal to what God said is our standard. But so often we've lived subnormal for so long that when we see somebody who's actually living normal by the standards of God's Word, that they seem a little abnormal to us. Seem a little different. We used that word in Sunday school this morning. And a lot of times that means odd to us. Somebody who's different. But actually the word means distinct. It means unlike most others. And so let's look at Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2. Very familiar passage of Scripture. I'm sure you've heard messages on it before if you've been a Christian for a while. Some of you might even have it memorized. But let's read what it says. Romans chapter 12, verse number 1. "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let's once again go to the Lord in prayer. Father, what a joy to be here. We're thankful for the time already in your word this morning, how you've been working in our hearts and lives. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to focus on what you'd have for us during these minutes that we have together. Pray that we wouldn't be distracted and thinking of other things, what's coming up for lunch or activities the remainder of the day, but be able to focus on what you would have for us. And we'll thank you for what's done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you've studied the book of Romans, it's divided into two sections. First of all, you have section 1 through 11. Great, what we would call doctrinal truth. Wonderful verses like Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin, what we earn because of our sin, is death, spiritual separation from God. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. And we could go on and on. Great doctrinal truth. It actually shares with us what we believe as Christians. Well, then there's a shift starting right here in Romans chapter 12. And it switches from what we believe, Romans 1 through 11, to now what should our behavior be because of what we believe. And that's why it starts, look at Romans 12 again, it begins with the words, I beseech you, or I urge you, or I beg of you, because of what's already been written, Romans 1 through 11, now, starting in chapter 12, I urge you, and what does it say? Brethren, by the mercies of God, to present yourself as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. I want to give you what I'm going to call four characteristics of distinction that I believe are listed here in Romans 12. So in other words, if we want to live the life of what God said, here are four distinctives that it gives to us that makes us a little different, unlike most others who really don't know and follow Jesus Christ. Distinction number one, let's use that word present in verse number one. Present. And I'm going to call that our first distinction is we have a different goal. Now, what is that goal? Well, you can take it in your notes there. It's to become like Christ versus becoming like the world. Now, that word world just seems kind of worldly, doesn't it? What does it mean? It actually is telling us there, infatuated by the world. We're caught up in the world. In other words, we're influenced by the world system, and we're to resist that as a believer because our goal is to grow in Christ's likeness. We basically have two goals as a believer. What does Scripture tell us? That we're here to bring glory and honor to God. We could look at several different scriptures that tell us that. Actually, Romans 8:29 says we're to be conformed to the image of His Son. A very familiar verse. I hate to even use it in one sense because lunch is coming, but 1 Corinthians 10:31 might even be on maybe a wall here in the school or sometimes in a gymnasium at a church or a Christian school gym or maybe on a camp wall in the dining hall. What does 1 Corinthians 10:31 say? Whether therefore ye what? Eat, there's that word I was afraid of, or drink, or whatsoever you do, what does it say? Do all to the glory of God. Folks, that's our goal. According to God's word, that's our goal. We're here to bring glory and honor to Him. And yet, even as we were talking about in Sunday school, it's easy to get distracted and caught up in the world system around us because we are in it each and every day. Let me give you some average goals. of maybe some average people, sometimes even Christian people, but it's very easy to get caught up in these things. Doesn't mean they're all bad, but are they our number one focus? You might even want to write these words down. Just put down a little bit of space there. Average goals. I think the first one, I would use the word prosperity. Or you could even use possessions. If you really want to get down to the nitty-gritty of it, you might say stuff. We're just caught up in having stuff, you know? Just having things, having possessions. Remember the other day, I was in a hurry. I was trying to get gas. I was going somewhere, and I was trying to get some gas. And I actually paid at the pump, but I had to go inside to get something. And it was about 4:30 in the afternoon, and there is this line. And some people are paying for gas. Some of them are buying bread and milk from the convenience store. But several of the folks, they were getting their lottery ticket because the jackpot, I had just seen it on a billboard outside. I mean, it was big. And I even heard one guy talking about it. Oh, man, if I win the jackpot. I didn't want to say, do you know what your odds are to win that jackpot? But, I mean, he was so intent that he was actually scratching off, you know, the card up there. He wanted to see right then and there. We see this a lot. Now, again, there's nothing wrong with possession. God doesn't say things are wrong. He does say in Matthew chapter 6, don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. They can be destroyed. They can be stolen. That's what he says. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. In other words, focus on the eternal. Not wrong to have things. We have to have things, but don't just get caught up in that being your number one goal. I think the first one we could say is prosperity or possessions. Secondly, I'm around teens a lot, college students a lot. This is a big one with them, but I think it even creeps into adults' lives as well. And that I would call the word popularity. Now, people might not use this word. In other words, if we surveyed the community, and if we'd say, what's your goal? They might not say prosperity. They probably wouldn't say popularity, but are they making their choices? Are they doing things because they want to please somebody else? They want to get in good with somebody else? Are they doing because that's what they really believe they should do? Sometimes we might even find ourselves doing things or saying things that we really aren't really interested in doing or saying, but where you know that that's big in the eyes of that particular person. And if we don't watch it, it's very easy to do that. In fact, hold your Bible there if you would. Go to Galatians chapter 1. Don't have time to look at all these verses, but this is a great one to use. Galatians chapter 1. Look at verse number 10. Galatians 1:10. It tells us here, it says, for do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. You know, if I call myself a servant of Christ, and that's my desire, I want to follow Him, and yet I find myself making choices, making decisions based upon other people, you know what? I'm actually more interested in pleasing them than I am pleasing my God. What is that? That's popularity. Another average goal of people, so Galatians 1:10 is a great verse to go again, is power. Be in control, be in charge. We just talked about that a little bit in the Sunday school hour this morning, but great pastor scripture there, Mark chapter 10, when Christ told the disciples, you want to be great? Be a humble servant who sacrifices yourself for the needs of other people. It's not about me being in charge and telling everybody else what to do. But if you want to be biblical, be a humble servant. It's not about who serves me, but how many people can I be a blessing and encouragement and a help to them? That's biblical leadership. That's a very important one. So we've got prosperity, we have popularity, we have power, and then, oh my, this is a big one. Pleasure. A lot of people live for pleasure. Hey, it's the weekend! I'm from Kansas City, Missouri. I won't go into great detail on this, but that was a big day in Kansas City yesterday because we were in a playoff game, and it was even a home game yesterday. And by the way, they even won, so the place, I mean, everything was good in Kansas City last night. But you know, it's fun to follow your favorite team. It's good to do those things. Nothing wrong with that. But some people, their life is based upon it. And I guarantee you, if the Chiefs win in Kansas City, man, their life is good. But their weekend's ruined if the Chiefs lose. In fact, their whole week is ruined until the next week if they lose. And there's been some years that they do a lot of losing. So weeks aren't real good. Pleasure. We live for pleasure. That's some of the average goals. I think you could find that if you would actually survey a lot of people, what they would say are the important things or the things that make them successful would fit into one of those categories. But as a believer, according to God's word, what are we to do? Present ourselves as a living sacrifice. I guess this is so meaningful to me because how my life was impacted. I grew up as a religious person. I grew up going to church all the time. But when I was a college student, I met a young lady who I like to say was different on purpose. We were on this committee together. She was a freshman, I was a junior. And I could tell from when I first met her that there was something different about her. She just kind of seemed to have a purpose about her. I mean, she was pleasant to be around. She had an outgoing personality. She was an attractive young lady. But even more than that, there was depth to it. She just kind of seemed to know where she was and what her goals were. I'll never forget one night our committee was decorating. We were putting up Christmas decorations in the student union for the college students. And so I'm decorating this Christmas tree with this young lady. Now, I knew her, but I didn't know her well. I knew her name. Name was Donna. I didn't know much about her. And so I'm just making conversation. I'm the junior. She's the freshman. So I'm saying, hey, Donna, what's your major here at college? She said, I'm a math major. I want to be a high school math teacher. But folks, she didn't stop there. She said, I want to be a high school math teacher so I can influence teenagers for Jesus Christ. Now, this was a secular university. I had heard of math majors. I'd never heard of that kind of math major. They wanted to teach math so she could influence teenagers for Jesus Christ. And you know what? That was different. That was distinct. But see, that was her goal. By the time that tree was decorated that night, she shared with me her testimony, how she had put her faith and trust in Jesus Christ as a teenager, and her desire was to live for Him. Wow, I had religion. But man, there was a lot more to this. You know what I did for the next few months? I watched. Sometimes I even asked questions. Why she did certain things, why she didn't do certain things. And the thing that really impressed me, she could always come back with a Bible reason. She'd ask me about my religion. And to be quite honest, I couldn't give her many answers. I don't know, that's what they told me to do. But I had never gotten into the Bible. And it took a little while because of my indoctrination, but a couple of years later, I ended up seeing what I needed wasn't religion, it was a relationship. And I put my faith and trust in Christ. Now, I told the folks in Sunday school this morning, I ended up marrying a gal. We've been married now for going on 48 years next month. We have 5 children. They're all grown. Have families of their own, 18 grandkids, 30 of us together. But our greatest joy today is to watch our children as they seek to raise their children to present themselves back to God. Not guaranteed, but that they would seek to do that. A different goal. See, it impacted me when I was around somebody who really had a different goal. That her number one goal was to live for her God. to present herself back to her God as a living sacrifice, to glorify God in what she said and did. And as a result, no question, it attracted me to Christ. And I wanted what she had. Let's go on a little bit further. Let's go on to, it's giving my body back to God. I mentioned Romans 8:29 said that we're to be conformed to the image of His Son. But let's go to number two. Number two, renew our mind. That comes from verse number two. It says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. And how are you to be transformed? By renewing your mind. You know, folks, when you come to a Bible-believing church like this, that's what we're doing. We're renewing our mind through God's Word as we come here. See, we have the distinctive as a believer of having a different, not only goal, but a different authority. What's our different authority? It's God's Word versus my reasoning. See, it's giving my mind back to God. What does 2 Timothy 3:16 say? That all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. Written by man, but God inspired them to write it. And then what does it say? It's profitable for what? For doctrine. It teaches us. For reproof. It shows us what we're wrong. And then for correction, how to make wrongs right, and for instruction in righteousness. That's what God's Word does. I'll never forget a few years ago, I was teaching Sunday school. For some reason, everybody was together that morning. We had a combined, kind of like you did in here this morning. And I was teaching. I don't remember what I was teaching on. But after Sunday school, this lady came up to me. Never had met her before. She was visiting our church. And she said that she enjoyed the lesson. And she said, I'm a high school teacher. And she named this high school. It's a little bit public school outside of Kansas City. It was probably about 15, 20 minutes from our church. And she said, I teach this class on family living. And I have guest speakers from time to time, and I was wondering, would you be available to come and teach my class someday this week? And I said, oh, I'd love to do that. I'd be happy to do that. I said, I'd get excited about doing that. I said, I actually used to be in the public school quite a bit when I was a youth pastor. I'm in a lot of Christian schools nowadays, but I hadn't been in a public school for a little while, but I would love to be there. So we set on a date. I think it was going to be on Thursday, or class was going to be at 10:30. I said, I'll be there. And then she said, and I want you to teach on divorce and remarriage. And I thought, oh my, hadn't really planned on that topic, to be quite honest. And I said, okay. She said, now I'll need to give a little disclaimer before class. Let them know you're going to, and I told her, I said, I'll be happy to do that, but I want you to know I'm going to need to use the Bible as my text. She said, that's what I want you to do. I want you to share what the Bible says about divorce and remarriage. She said, now we do a lot of interaction in the class. And she said, I'll give a disclaimer at first. Let them know you're going to use the Bible. And if they don't want to hear it, they can go to study hall. It won't jeopardize their grade. But she said, most of them will stay because we have a lot of interaction in there. So sure enough, oh, I was excited about it. I had different people praying for me that week. Okay, I was going to be out at this school and so forth on Thursday. Again, I think the class was about 10:30. I got there about 8:20. I wanted to see what it'd be like to be a high schooler at this high school. So I went inside, kind of walked up and down the halls, act like I knew what I was doing. I didn't know where I was going. I peeked in the auditorium, see if they were going to have chapel at 10 o'clock like our Christian school did. That didn't look like that was going to happen. And so anyway, I just kind of hung out there for a while. Finally, it came time for class, about 10:30. So I went in the classroom, and she was in there, and she let them know what they were going to be doing. She told them that there was a guest speaker who's going to be using the Bible. I think maybe one guy left, went to study hall, everybody else stayed. And then she gave the topic, divorce and remarriage. And as soon as she gave the topic, hands went up all over the class. And I thought, oh, this is going to be fun. And what she did for about the next 15 or 20 minutes, she let them share. So different ones were sharing about divorce and remarriage. Remember, one guy talked about his family. He said, you know, my folks divorced a few years ago, and it's been difficult. It's been hard on all of us. And he talked a little bit about that. Somebody else shared, well, this is what I think about divorce and remarriage. Somebody else, I think they talked about a cousin of theirs, and how the parents had been divorced and the difficulties that had brought to the home and so forth. Somebody else, hey, this is what I think about divorce. So about 15, 20 minutes, several students shared, but you could actually put everything that was shared under one of two categories. They were either sharing experiences, their own personal experience or ones that they had seen others go through, or they were sharing opinion. This is what I think. By the way, don't we live in the days of opinion today? I mean, talk radio, talk TV, even reality TV, they call it. But don't know much about that. But all these things today, and everybody gives, well, this is what I think. But you know what? They shared. Then it was my turn. So I got up, and the first thing I did was thank them for their openness and transparency. I said, I really appreciated what you shared. Then I said, now let me share with you what the Bible said. And the first thing I did is I said, let me share with you what the Bible says about the Bible. And I used 2 Timothy 3:16, that it was written by man, but according to God's word, it was inspired of God. And that it teaches us and it shows us what we're wrong, how to correct things, gives us instruction in righteousness. Then I said, let me share with you what the Bible says about divorce and remarriage. Went to a couple of passages of scripture, read them, discussed them a little bit, had a few questions and time. We had good interaction and then time class to be over. Afterwards, a few of them came up and we talked a little bit further. Had a great time with them. But here's the point. Afterwards, I get in my car. I'm driving back to the church office. Had about a 20-minute drive and I thought, now, if that was our school, that was Bible class or even chapel or any class, and the topic of divorce and remarriage, would we just give our opinion? Would we just give experiences that we've seen? Or would we say, well, according to God's word, this is what it says about divorce and remarriage. See, folks, we have a different authority, a distinct authority. Now, we learn it, we read it, we study it, we come to church and hear messages on it, and that's wonderful. But then, what about the application? When I go to make choices, when I make decisions in my life, are they based upon a new authority? Or am I just kind of like the average person that kind of makes it based on experiences that I've gone through or opinion that I might have or heard from somebody else? I think I could say that people in our church and many students in our school would reflect on, well, this is what the Bible says. I think that's what they would say, but I know that's a difficult topic. So, very important. See, we have a different goal. We have a different authority, according to Romans 12, 1 and 2. God's word versus my reasoning. Let's go on. Number 3, the word transform. What does it say in Romans 12, 2? Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. That's different actions and attitude. See, it's pleasing God versus pleasing myself. Here's the tough one. Now it's giving my will back to God. Giving my will. Oh, God wants me to do something. It's a command. It's something He teaches, and I'm all for that. But what if my will is to do something different? What if I don't feel like doing that? Now, I've been in the ministry now for over 40 years, and I will sometimes say to congregations like this, you know what I've learned in 40 years of ministry? You know, get out your pen, get out your pad. Let me share with you what I've learned in 40 years of ministry. And then I'll say, I've learned that everybody's okay as long as they get their way. And some of them will look at me, is that all you learned? No, I've learned more than that. But I really have learned that, folks. Our will. That's a tough thing to break. Everything's okay at home as long as what? I get my way. But what happens if I don't get my way? By the way, I sure didn't get my way yesterday. I was sure planning on watching that Chiefs game when I got here. Ended up on an airplane for 2 hours instead. But you know what? Life goes on. And I didn't get in my way, but that's okay. Evidently, that's what God wanted. I do have a recorded. I'll watch it Tuesday. I know the outcome, but it'll still be fun. My will. Different actions and attitude. That's why we get into God's Word. That's why it's taught and preached, and we're to study it on our own, that we might be transformed, be more of what God intended us to be. 1 John chapter 5 says, if you love me, you're going to keep my commandments. And we sang some wonderful songs this morning about being a Daniel and loving God, different songs like that. But it's another thing to put that into practice, isn't it? See, if you love me, you're going to keep those commandments. And he said, those commands are not grievous. All right, one last one. Different goal, different authority, different actions and attitudes, and even a different way of handling problems. See, at the end of verse 2, it says, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. See, what we're talking about, living God's way versus my way. Not about me and what I think, but what does God want me to do? See, it's giving my life back to God. There's a great verse in Proverbs 16:20. I won't take the time for us to turn there, but it says, he that handles a matter wisely shall find good. And whoso trusts in the Lord, happy is he. That is a great verse. He that handles matter wisely will find good. What does that mean? See, I used to think that wisdom means, you know, you get a little older, as a result, you get a little wiser. That's not really biblical wisdom. See, biblical wisdom is looking at life and responding the way that God would have us to respond. That's biblical wisdom. So if I will do that, look at life and respond God's way, guess what? It says, he that handles matters with wisdom will find good. And whoso trusts in the Lord, happiness, real happiness comes. Happy is he. Great verse to meditate on, to think on. Let me, down at the bottom of your page there, let me give you one life principle. We shared it in Sunday school this morning, but let me give it here because I really believe Romans 12, 1 and 2 is a tremendous passage that illustrates this life principle. Here's the life principle. To let your purpose prioritize your life. As a believer, if we put our faith and trust in Christ, then our purpose is to glorify Him. Our purpose is to grow in Christ's likeness, become more like Him. Oh, we'll never become totally like Him in this life, but to grow in Christ's likeness. See how we handle situations. Do we just handle them the natural way? Or do I handle situations through the commands and the principles of Scripture? When those tests come along, those difficult situations to handle, that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, this afternoon, I'm going to give, actually, in the service, it's going to be a short one, but I'm going to give you a handout with 10 principles. Well, you already have the handout, actually. But we're going to go over 10 principles, 10 passages that go along with these two life principles of let your purpose prioritize your life, what we just covered, and then to be different on purpose. And hopefully it'll be a good tool for you to take as we really seek to get into God's Word in a greater way, even in this brand new year before us. Let's bow in prayer. I'm going to pray and I'm going to turn it over to Pastor to close the service. Father, what a joy to be here. Thank you for these folks. Many of them faithful folks. I'll be here every week. But it's been a joy to be with them this morning. But Lord, more than that, thank you for your Word. And Lord, right here in this passage, you've shared with us that we're to give ourselves back to you as a living sacrifice. And it's only reasonable to do so. And Lord, that we have a brand new authority, your Word, and we're to be renewing our mind on a regular basis through it. that we might be transformed and be more of what you'd have us to be. And even when the difficulties come, that following your word will even show us and show others you at work in our life. Lord, if there'd be those here today that have never put their faith and trust in you, I pray that they'd understand, just as I was attracted to Christ through the word, through an individual that was following your word, that they might seek to do that even today. So Lord, we bring these things before you. Thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.